step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cups. Here's to this moment, it will never happen again.
This is Off Stage and On the Air, performance number 736. My name, as it usually is Lisa Sheps, and I am operating solo today. Nicole is still in the lovely areas of New York, and I'm here by myself. But I'm not. I got a whole crew here. You are listening to us on KOOP, HD1, HD3, Hornsby, streaming live at koop.org.
Step right up, the show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Step right up, feast your eyes on the wonders of this world. Oh yeah.
Wasting away again in Margaritaville.
It is Wednesday, September 6, 2023. On our show today, we have the Alchemy Theater and their production of Pipeline. Then later on, we'll be talking to the Vortex and their production. It's not really a production. Their event called the Green New Theater Symposium. And of course, we'll have a lively discussion of the world of theater in Austin, Boston, New York, Louisiana somewhere, and points east. Stick with us.
Here I haven't a clue.
I'm wasted away again in Margaritaville. So we're going to talk about what that all means. I typically at this point would talk to my co-host and ask them how they are, but I can't because I don't have a co-host today. But I will say that I want to thank Kim Simpson in another wonderful international folk bazaar. I always love him, his show. And if y'all don't know, he's a great guy. He's a really wonderful person. So make sure you catch his show every week before you catch Offstage and On the Air. You'll learn lots of stuff. I'm going to jump right in and introduce the folks that are sitting in here with me. Two-thirds of which are veterans of this show, and my veterans are Simone Alexander. Hi, Simone.
Hi.
And you've co-hosted with me before.
I have.
You have. So you're gonna take on this role again very easily.
Always a fun time.
That's good. Chelsea Manassieri's been on the show like 7,000 times. Hi, Chelsea.
Hi.
And new to the show is April Patterson.
Hi.
The page was too far away for me to see whether that was an E or an A. Hi, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Well, great. Well, let's just jump in. I'm guessing people know why I played Margaritaville on the show.
Yeah.
Did people know?
Jimmy Buffett
passed away. But why? Yeah. Oh, you didn't. Chelsea made a face, yeah. Which doesn't work on the radio. So you didn't know that he passed away?
I had no idea.
He passed away from, well, we didn't know for up until yesterday, I think. And then they announced it. It was some kind of sarcoma cancer he's been dealing with for like 3 or 4 years. But he was, oops, hold on. My computer just went dark right as I looked at it. 76 when he died, so it's not all that old. But why would I play a Jimmy Buffett song and talk about his death on a show about theater? Anybody?
Because he has that one musical. Was it called Margaritaville?
It was called Escape to Margaritaville.
Yeah.
And that's what we were listening to. And, it dawned on me, I did not write down who was singing, who played the roles in that. And I also don't... Hold on, let me see if I did... I may have printed out the Wikipedia of the show, but it I tried to see it. It previewed before it went to Broadway. It previewed in I think 4 other cities. Pasadena Playhouse was one of them, but Houston was where it played right before it went to Broadway.
Oh, wow.
And I tried to get over to see it, and I did not. Many people know, I didn't even know this until one time I was hiring someone and she said that she was a parrot head, and I went, what is a parrot head? And she explained, and those are Jimmy Buffett fans or parrot heads. But so the Escape to Margaritaville did not do terribly well on Broadway, but it did have a Broadway run. So he was also very, very prolific as a business person. He took Margaritaville and turned it into a restaurant. a Broadway show, amongst other things, and he's evidently a really great entrepreneur. So my personal connection with Jimmy Buffett, and specifically Margaritaville, I moved to New York in 1977, June 21st of 1977. I got in a car and I was driving up to New York with my friends Brian and Mark. And that song, which came out in 1977, was playing on the radio every 5 minutes. And we did not have podcasts back then or any other thing. You just had the radio. And I just hated that song because that's all we ever heard.
Soundtrack to New York.
I always thought about my move to New York, and that which was really quite interesting. But then I learned after he passed away, so all the local news stations, of which I do watch local news, talking about the original. He wrote Margaritaville after spending time at a bar on Anderson Lane in Austin. That no longer exists. I forgot what it was called. And he was originally, or at least they say, the spin is, he was originally called it Wasted Away in Austinville, or Austin Town. But he changed it to Margaritaville.
Honestly, I love a good margarita, so.
Apropos of nothing and not theatrical, other than I went to lunch with Patty Neftiven, my co-artistic director over at Ground Floor Theater, at Cura's, and we had an avocado margarita.
Oh, lovely.
Delish, everybody. I recommend.
I don't know. I just can't imagine it right now.
But. Well, it's a. I so can. If you've ever had an avocado smoothie, it's like that, except with tequila.
With the good stuff. Really
so,
good.
So, very worth it. Well, anyway, rest in peace, Jimmy Buffett. That was that. So, I want to talk about several things here, and I'm going to start off by telling folks that the opinions expressed here on Offstage and on the Air are not that of this radio station, its board of directors, or its staff, but simply my own opinion. And I want to talk about, I've been talking about this almost every week, SB 12. That was the drag ban bill that is very important to the theater business in general. It's about freedom of speech. Freedom of peach? I have peaches at home, and I need freedom of peach. Freedom of speech, as well as allowing drag performers to actually perform. And there's actually nothing sexual or prurient about performance, unless it's like a late-night show for an adult audience, and it's made to be that. But other than that, I talked about last week that we had Drag Queen Story Hour at the theater, and it's nothing but... It's all about acceptance, love, and acceptance. I'm going to say that twice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Has anybody seen Drag Queen Story Hour or any of...
Not yet, but I really want to.
Yeah,
it sounds
too.
Wonderful.
Yeah, yes. Really, really amazing. And the people were great. Anyway, that new law was supposed to go into effect on September 1st. Well, they keep saying September 1st. Yeah, September 1st. But last Thursday... District Judge David Hittner made a temporary block of the law that would have criminalized sexually oriented performances in front of children and effectively banned some public drag shows. It was after a two-week hearing in Houston, and ACLU was part of the plaintiffs, some performers and things like that. He said, now this is temporary, so it's not, he could have said, they're just going to put an injunction against it, but he said he's not going to rule yet. But in the meantime, because he thinks it's unconstitutional, he'll put a temporary restraining order on it. He said, based on evidence and testimony presented at the hearing, the court finds there's substantial likelihood that SB 12 is as drafted violated the First Amendment of the United States Constitution under one or more of the legal theories put forward by the plaintiffs. So then he wrote a temporary restraining order. It just angers me that we have to do this because of the reasoning behind these laws have nothing to do with protecting children. It has something to do with driving a wedge between people and this and all these communities. But I'm glad that more good minds prevailed. There was a different word I was coming for. I couldn't come up with it. So are y'all politically active? Do y'all look at this kind of stuff when it's going on?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
Okay, well, thank you for being on the show. But we've been talking about it a lot, and one of the things, we actually read the bill last week, or a piece of the bill, and what we, you know, when the right wing or the Republicans that have introduced the bill says it does not specifically ban drag, but when you read the bill, it says any man that dresses as a woman or a woman dresses as a man or uses any kind of prosthetic things showing gender other than that you were assigned at birth is illegal according to this bill. Well, that's drag.
Yeah.
Literally. What's crazy to me is, like, how do they classify, like, a woman dressing as a man? You know, like
right.
What do you?
Good question.
Right.
Yeah. What is that?
I mean, I would have been banned as a kid because that's, I mean, according
same.
To, you know, society standards, I wore yep. heavy t-shirts and boxer shorts, like
yes.
not boxer shorts, but basketball shorts everywhere I went. Tissue, yeah. Right.
Well, it's interesting. As a person that is trans and was socialized male growing up, male, that was really difficult for me because I couldn't dress the way I wanted to dress. Mm. But girls, and I'm using air quotes, could be as tomboy as you want. And the
right.
reason
yes.
behind that, folks, is it's okay for a girl want to advance to be a male, but it's not okay for a male to be substandard or mm-hmm. sub, you know, and it's all about the patriarchy and it's all about
facts.
Yeah.
Big facts.
So I'm glad SB 12 is on hold.
Yes.
And hopefully, you know, I believe also the gender affirming care, I think that was SB 14 or SB 15. I think that's also on hold, but I'm not 100% sure about that. But I'm glad people are doing that work. And the Vortex specifically, I believe, was part of the people named in that suit to try to sue to get it done along with the ACLU. So go Vortex. We
yes.
love the Vortex. They're going to be on the show later and we can even ask them about that. Also, rest in peace. Just keep it. We're just going to keep it with the dead people. Franny Lee passed away and she was a scenic designer. She's known a lot to do a lot of the scenic design at Saturday Night Live. But I actually, the reason why I talk about her is because I got the privilege of working with her in 1983 or 4. I did a show at Studio 54 called Street Heat, and she was the designer of it. She was in a relationship with Eugene Lee, who died last February. So they both basically died around the same time. But I actually had to go back. So Street Heat was a show that we did in Studio 54 while Studio 54 was still going on. So we'd come in and do the show, and then we would strike the show every night by 10 p.m. when 54 would open. It had Michael DiLorenzo in it, Vicki Lewis in it. We had a star, a child actor star from a TV series. I can't remember his name. But it was very interesting, but I didn't remember a lot about it. So today I did a Google search and I found the New York Times review, which was just a 3-paragraph review and didn't really name anybody other than Michael DiLorenzo, who, I don't know, in the 90s you would have recognized. And Vicki Lewis went on to do a lot of, you probably would recognize her if you saw her as well. But it didn't do well. It didn't do well. But Franny Lee was the scenic designer, and she was very, very kind and nice. And so rest in peace, Franny Lee. With all of these things, you can go to offstageonair.com when I post this thing, and you can see links and read all about Franny and Eugene and everything. So what's the next thing I want to talk about? We're not going to get to anything. Funny Girl closed.
Oh, man.
Did it?
It closed.
Wow.
Yeah, well, it closed. It closed when it said it was, based on... I just lost her name.
Leah Michelle.
Leah Michelle, thank you. Leah Michelle's exit. So she departed, it went.
Oh.
And so the history of this show, so it's got a history of people saying it's not all that great of a show, but it was written for Barbara Streisand.
Right.
And it was written for that voice, and that just voice doesn't exist anywhere, except as we now know, Leah Michelle. The original Fanny Bryce was, oh my God, I just lost her name too.
And this one?
Beanie Feldstein.
Beanie Feldstein, yes. Who did not get good notices, and her voice wasn't strong enough to carry that. And then everybody thought it was going to die because it was just a fraught show. And then Lea Michele came in. Beanie left earlier than she had intended, and it flipped it around. And it also kind of changed her. She had some PR issues, Lea Michele.
Yeah.
And oddly enough, those have not, I don't know if they've disappeared. I mean, some people still, because she's never actually apologized or anything about any of the things that she allegedly did.
Yeah.
But evidently, her being such a rock star on this show, and evidently she was just amazing in it as a performer, cleared her name.
I think the rumors that she can't write or is like
illiterate. Oh, she can't read.
The rumor is she can't read.
Yeah, but that's...
Also, she did and said some not so...
She was not kind to her co-stars during Spring Awakening or Glee.
And during Glee. I've heard just a lot of horror stories.
Yeah. And what's bad for me, and I may have mentioned it on the show, there's a wonderful documentary about Spring Awakening and how that came. And I saw that documentary before I really learned about all the negative stuff about her. And I was just so in love with her and Jonathan Groff watching that show. And now I find out that, well, maybe she wasn't all that nice to all those people, including Jonathan Groff.
No.
But anyway, it's closing. There is an article in the New York Times written by Alexis Selesky, I think. I'm going to look at it right now. No, Julia Jacobs. It's run for almost 600 performances. At the closing, I think they closed on a matinee day, she sang the song My Man. Mm. Oh, my man, I love him so, which was not in the play. It was in, I believe, in the film. Mm-hmm. And in Barbara Streisand, when she left the show, she did the same thing, sang that song to the audience. So that was supposed to be pretty cool. So it says, although the song was not part of the score, either Broadway Productions, as though the original Barbara Streisand sang it at the end of her final performance in 1965, and it was added to the 1968 film. So, rest in peace, Funny Girl.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Okay, let's check in the time. We have just a little left. So we talked about this last week, that there's a musical about the Tiananmen Square massacre. Have y'all heard of that?
Yes.
Okay, so it was announced, I'm just going to say it was announced on a Tuesday, and the star was announced to be a man named Zachary Noah Pizer. And on Wednesday, he sent an Instagram saying, I'm not in the show.
Oh, wow.
Oh, no.
And it was like that terse and that cryptic. Nobody knew. So it turns out, well, now there's an article that says why he dropped out. He said in his brief signed statement originally, all he said was, I have withdrawn from the musical Tiananmen. In this article, his manager told CNN that he had creative differences. Mm. But this thing posits maybe something a little, not more sinister, but a little bit more heartbreaking. So he's currently in China doing, I can't remember what show, but the Chinese government has been crushing people that are talking about the Tiananmen Square massacre. Mm. By the way, do y'all know what the Tiananmen massacre is? Okay. But people were here last week. People hadn't heard of it. So... Wow. But to remind folks, it's when a bunch of students protested the Chinese government. There's an iconic picture of a student in front of a tank. Anyway, a lot of people died. A lot of students were killed by the government. And so the government doesn't want to talk about it because it doesn't paint them in a pretty light. So this article, it kind of says that they think maybe he was worried more about his safety.
Performing in
Beijing, where he is now. So I just thought that's very interesting. Yeah. And the musical sounds interesting. It's still going to go on. It's going to be playing at the Phoenix Theater Company in Phoenix from October 4th to the 29th. Original rock songs as an homage to the protest anthems played on Tiananmen Square in 1989. I want to see it.
Yeah,
I'm all for it.
Too, for sure. Do we know who wrote it?
I could tell you that, hopefully. I know it's in this article, but the question is, did I underline it? And the answer is probably not. Yeah.
It's okay. I will Google it after.
It's in there. Yeah. But go read this article. It's in there somewhere. I'm still looking. Can't find it. Actually, I didn't know that Pizer was the first Asian American to lead the to play Dave Evan Hansen in Dear Evan Hansen.
Oh, okay. Oh.
So
very cool.
There you go. All right, I'm looking again, but yeah, he's for those of you in China, he is touring in whatever show he's doing in Nanjing, Chengdu, and Shenzhen. Before wrapping up, there you go. Interesting. So we're like all political today.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah,
did are. I mention that these are just my views and not the views of co-op, the staff or board?
Mm-hmm.
You did. So on a little less heavy frame, Gutenberg the Musical. We've been talking about this for a long time, but there's a big article in the New York Times. So Gutenberg the Musical is pairing up. It's a rip-roaring comedy about Gutenberg, who invented the printing press and did the Gutenberg Bible. Chelsea's nodding. You familiar with Gutenberg?
Yeah, familiar with Gutenberg, yes.
Did you know him?
Not personally, no.
Anyway, I didn't realize. It's directed by Alex Timbers. It's written by Scott Brown and Anthony King. It's a farcical, large-hearted... It's about a... anyway, it's about a duet in a nursing home trying to do a show. And actually, they play a whole bunch of different characters. It's a two-hander with Josh Gad and Andrew Rannells.
Oh,
Rannells.
Wow.
I can never pronounce his name. Book of Mormon, yeah. And they talk about how they actually met during the audition process of Book of Mormon. Josh Gad had the role from the beginning, which I didn't realize this. And they were trying to find a name to play the other role. And even though Andrew Rannells was not a big name when he got the role, thank God they gave it to him because he was amazing in it.
Yes.
And evidently, Josh Gad was really angry because he kept trying to get Andrew Rannells to break character. And Andrew Rannells... never broke character. They should have hired me because I break character all the time. So they are wearing a combined 107 different baseball caps in the show.
Wow.
Evidently, every time they change characters, they change baseball caps.
Amazing.
So that looks like a lot of fun. And I like both of those performers a lot, and both of them have been doing a lot of TV. Josh Gad has been doing a lot of voicing. Mm-hmm. But he was on a TV show called 1600 Penn. It was written by John Lovitz.
Is that about the apartment?
No, it's about being the president. And Josh Gad played the president's ne'er-do-well son.
That sounds about right.
Yeah, it did not last, unfortunately. Okay, we're running out of time. I will say there's a whole bunch of stuff that on the website that you can look. One of the ones I just want to highlight real quick, like, because we talk about this every week. Again, in the regions, we're still in trouble financially. The theaters, the Steppenwolf Theater in Chicago is laying off 20%, 12% of its staff. And they did this. And so what's happened since COVID is audiences... They're coming back to Broadway, but they're not coming back to the regions. They're not coming back to our little theaters a lot. And in their press announcement of cutting their staff to try to stay open, they also said, quote, "We offer a call to action to audiences across our city. Reconnect with the wonder of live performances. By supporting your local theater, you can safeguard the artists and institutions who create extraordinary work reflective of the bold, tenacious city that we all call home." I think we could just place that into every city in the nation, yep, and absolutely. Specifically, yep. How about Austin, Texas?
Yes, for definitely.
Sure, for sure.
Yeah, so heed the word, folks. And then the last thing I want to talk about is the... Broadway show, Chicago, has put in, she's not in yet, starting on September 11th. What's her name? Lily Thomas is going to take in the role of Mama Morton. And nice. She is the first Asian American performer to play that role.
Wow.
In like 25 years. I mean, shame on them.
Yes.
that we have to even say that.
We're still having all our firsts.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, for God's sake.
2023.
Yeah. Keep going. That's and for no reason. Mm-hmm. You know, there's been plenty of Asian American actors who could have filled that role. Anyway, so that's it. Right now in the show, Charlotte D'Amboise is Roxy and Kimberly Marabelle is Velma.
Wow.
I like the show. Who likes Chicago?
Yeah.
I'm okay with Chicago.
You're okay with it.
It's not bad. I actually was in a production of Chicago maybe 10 years ago.
Who'd you play?
I played Mama Morton.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I could see that.
Right.
I could see that. I think you probably played the heck out of it. It's either Mama Morton or Little Mary Sunshine.
Exactly.
Or Amos. Those would be the three roles. Oh, no. I could also do, what's his name? Billy Flynn.
Ooh.
It's like the last one.
That.
Well, no, I could almost do any role in that show. They're all kind of fun.
Yeah,
they are fun roles. Yeah, you're right.
We talked about it on this show. I'm going to wag a finger at the production. I thought they had pretty much stopped making Little Mary Sunshine a male performer, mm-hmm. and because it's insulting mm-hmm. to many of us. But I'm told that they are still doing that on Broadway.
Really?
And there's no reason. That character does not need to be a man in a dress. And that's a trope that should long be gone. So there you go.
Agreed.
So let's take a little break. We're going to hear When You're Good to Mama. This is actually not from the show. This is Mary Testa, who did what's it called when you do a performance to get money for people?
Oh, benefit.
A benefit performance for Sandy Hook. And there's an album for it. There's amazing songs on it. So this is Mary Testa singing When You're Good to Mama. We'll be right back.
Ask any of the chickies.
We are back. You are listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa Sheps, and we're here on KOOP 91.7 on your FM dial. And we've been having a lovely conversation with Simone Alexander, Chelsea Manassieri, and April Patterson. And now we are going to talk to them about the real reason why they're here, which is not just to hear me talk. Alchemy Theater is doing a production of Pipeline by... Dominique Marisseau. I had Marisseau. I lost Dominique. Simone, you are the director.
Yes, I am.
And April, you are the producer.
Yes, I'm one of the producers.
And Chelsea, you're the star.
Oh, goodness. That's a lot of pressure.
It's more or less an ensemble piece, really. Yeah. But yeah. Simone, tell us about the show itself.
Yeah, the show centers Naya, who's a mother and teacher, as she's battling issues with her son, Omari, who's dealing with some school fighting issues, but also, you know, parental issues. He's holding a lot for a teenager and needs more support. So the story is really highlighting the school-to-prison pipeline that happens often in America, unfortunately, where kids aren't really supported and instead, you know, villainized and hit with the highest, most affected kind of punishment that really doesn't give them leniency and growth and understanding. So I think Dominique's just written a wonderful piece, and I love her writing already, so it's just poetic.
It is a wonderful piece. And I will say, apropos of the school-to-prison pipeline, when I was growing up, things were very different, but I was very surprised to learn that, like, for truancy, instead of, like, getting detention, they call cops.
Yeah.
And it's like, how... To me, that's just insane.
Cruel and unusual punishment.
Yeah. I agree. And we're going to... And actually, April and I were talking about that before we went on the air. About that, and we're going to talk a little bit about that later on when we talk about some of the work that you're doing with Alchemy. But talk about you're producing this, or I don't know whether this would be Simone or you. Simone, did you bring this to Alchemy, or did Alchemy come to you?
We actually bought the rights to Pipeline, mm-hmm. and we were just in search for a director that we could trust to really bring it to light. And we
great. So my question for you then, April, is why Pipeline? Why now?
Well, Alchemy's whole mission is to tell these really authentic, transformative human stories. And when we first read Pipeline, we were like, this is a very real, relevant topic now. Mm. And this is a story that needs to be told. And it just became very precious to us. And we just felt like it was a message that the community needed to hear. Yeah. I mean, our children are our foundation, right?
Right. I couldn't agree more. And you have kids.
I have 3 kids.
Yeah. So I would assume it's probably hits you really in your heart.
I can't even imagine. I don't think I could anticipate how emotional I would be during the production of this play.
Sure.
Just in the ways that the story of Naya, how it was so relevant to my current life. And I mean, almost identical, except for the fights, you know. my son, no. But just the emotional and mental struggles that, you know, he's having, been in a place where there wasn't a lot of representation of himself.
Yeah, sure.
And me and Naya having the same motivations, like just doing the best we can, right?
Yep.
But not knowing how.
Understand. Yeah. So Chelsea, speaking of Naya, you're playing Naya, who's the mother in the story.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about this role and how has it been for you so far?
Oh man. I mean, it's definitely been a wonderful process. It's been, mentioned earlier, it's been very emotionally taxing, because like April said, it's just a very real story and I think it's very relevant. I don't have kids, but I work with kids. And so I think it's just very relevant to our current, you know, climate. It's a very intense role and it's beautifully written and I'm honored that I get to play it. But yes, it is definitely, an emotional load.
Yeah. And by Chelsea saying we were mentioning it earlier, we were talking about it off air. So, it was very interesting to hear. I was like a fly on the wall listening to this conversation. And Simone, who's the director, is like very intimately involved with the script, is still tearing up and crying during rehearsals, which
we
says,
all are.
Yeah, and you all are.
We all are.
Which says volumes about the piece and the work that you're doing.
Yeah. I mean, I will also say I'm a new mom and I feel like this piece, I've been in love with Dominique Morisseau's work. And when I first read it, I didn't have kids. And I feel like now that I am a mom, I really have to build up those walls for myself to just mm-hmm. say like, okay, I'm having my director hat on. I need to like navigate where this is going emotionally for the actors. But to just watch the run last night, like no pen and paper in hand and really just take it all in was really powerful. And I've been going through a lot as a new mom anyways. So I feel like I've a little bit been keeping myself together so that it's not every rehearsal just like crying and being a mess. But the actors are doing such wonderful work. So I'm really excited for the community to see it.
Tell us about some of the other characters and some of the other performers that are playing with you.
Yeah, of course. I mean, I think we've just lucked out with such a wonderful cast. Everybody is just so like bringing their own personalities to the role. We have Elijah as Omari, who's actually a high school student. So he's holding a lot already.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Kat as Jasmine, just graduated.
That's
high
Omari's
school.
Girlfriend.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Jasmine is playing Omari's girlfriend. Irv as Xavier, who's Naya's ex-husband, Omari's dad, and then Godwin as Dunn, who's school security, and Nancy as Lori, another school teacher.
Yeah. Amazing. So we talk about I love doing pieces. We were just talking about this to somebody the other day. I love it when you leave the theater and you're forced to continue to think and you're forced to like either maybe look within or just think about what it was said. And when as I was looking at this stuff, I don't know if y'all saw this or not, but there is a website called explorepipelineplay.com, mm-hmm. which is basic. So you've seen it,
yeah,
obviously.
Yeah, further outreach, further deep dives into the school-to-prison pipeline. I think
exercises for working with students.
Yeah.
Lots of really great stuff.
I feel like Dominique Morisseau really taps into like the artist activists. If you've ever seen any of her work or like follow her on Instagram, even she's very in tune with being a Black artist in this industry and how her work can really reach wider audiences. And I feel like even the work that April has done as producer on this project to really elevate what outreach looks like has just been really amazing. It's like ideal to be paired with producers who are this supportive and understand like the bigger reach of a theater project too. So I think we just really lucked out with our whole creative team.
So yeah. Tell us some of the things that you're doing with regards to outreach and this show in specific and Alchemy in general.
Yeah, well, Alchemy has been really intentional about community outreach, but when we were able to have the opportunity to produce Pipeline, I was like, there's no way we're not going to do this without having this message pour into the community with every outreach opportunity that we can. So, you know, last year we did a kids workshop and we provided them with school lunches and school supplies and just a whole day of creativity for them to play with. And this year we did a community event that was inspired by Pipeline, where we had a panel of experts come and we sat there and we communicated about the school to prison pipeline. And we talked about, you know, ways in which we can combat that. And we also had a keynote speaker, Tyler Campbell, came and he gave his own personal story about his youth and how the people in the community help him.
Well, that last name actually sounds familiar to me.
It's Earl Campbellson.
Okay. Earl the Pearl. Oh.
Yeah. Which I didn't know when he actually agreed to do.
I do not follow sports at all, but during the Dallas Cowboys in that era, which I think was the 70s and 80s, when Earl Campbell was there, I did follow it. So that's the only, otherwise I wouldn't know any of the new people. But it's interesting. I just want to share a conversation that you and I had before we went on. We were talking about the school to prison pipeline and how important that is and how non-intuitive our current penal system is with regards to juvenile justice. Mm-hmm. I served on the Human Rights Commission here in Austin for a while, and we had a presentation that came to us talking about restorative justice in the juvenile system. And what we learned is several things. First of all, it takes this situation where we're criminalizing students, and then we are penalizing them in a judicial justice system that just keeps them in the system instead of getting them out of the system and turns them into long-term criminals and incarcerated people. Whereas they could have this system where it's not about criminalizing the behavior. Mm-hmm. It's about restoring this person to humanity. And they went through the whole thing and they showed pictures of juvenile justice programs in other states and other cities. And then, surprise, you save millions of dollars.
Right.
And to me, it's like, oh, well, that should be a no-brainer. But in our lovely legislature here in the state of Texas, no, we just want to keep doing it the way we've been doing
it. And there's no restorative process for these kids either, right? Yeah. So you throw them in the system and there's no way out.
You're throwing them away.
Basically.
And I think that something that is actually addressed in Pipeline, but that your statement made me think of is the fact that working with children has taught me that there's always a reason behind why children do the things they do. Sure. And if they lash out or they're violent, there's always a reason, 100% of the time. And penalizing them is not getting to the root cause of that reason. Nope. And that's where we're doing these kids a disservice.
Yeah. Also, I think Pipeline highlights a lot of things, like not having proper training for the people who are in charge of nurturing these kids, like their teachers, their educators, right? Mm-hmm. And no mental health resources for their parents and the students when they do get in trouble.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of work we have to do to fix this stuff, but I'm glad there are pieces like Pipeline out there that make us think about this kind of stuff. We're just about out of time. When does this show open?
Tomorrow.
Yay. Tomorrow.
Tomorrow's opening night.
Are you excited and are you ready?
So excited. Thrilled. So ready. Excited. Yes, I'm ready.
Excellent. Well, I'm looking forward to seeing it. Where can folks go to get more information?
You may go to thealchemytheater.org and find more information about it there.
Excellent. And so you open tomorrow, the 7th, and you close?
September 30th?
The 30th. September 30th, yeah. Yes.
Wonderful. Well, thank you all so much for being on the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
That was Simone Alexander, Chelsea Manicieri, April Pattison of Alchemy Theater's production of Pipeline. Opens tomorrow, September 7th, closes on the 30th. For more information, alchemytheater.org. And this is actually a song called One School from a made-up show called 21 Jump Street that we talked about on this show once before. That Lin-Manuel Miranda did with the This American Life people. And we will be right back.
Seriously, these kids need to learn there are consequences.
We are back. You are listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa Sheps. I'm working without a co-pilot today. So I've been asking my guests to serve that role. And speaking of that, I just have a whole new group of people that just popped into the studio. We're actually going to call this show the Vortex Hour from now on, because the Vortex has been on so often because they do such good work. And from the Vortex, we have the artistic director, Bonnie Cullum. Hi, Bonnie.
Hi, Lisa.
We have Nia Perez Herrera.
Hello.
Did I pronounce that properly?
Perfect.
Perfect?
Yes.
Oh, my God. And Alex Cogburn. Hi, Alex.
Howdy.
Good to see you again. This is your second time on the show.
That's right.
Which is, for the longest time, we never had you on the show, and I only saw you when I was over at the Vortex, and now we can't get enough of you.
I love being on your show.
We love having you. So we're just at the point where we're talking about the local stuff going on, and I'm going to go through the list. There was something I was going to highlight that supposedly was coming up this week at Texas Performing Arts that looked like very interesting, but it's not until October, so I'm not going to even say anything about it because I didn't write it down. You can't remember. But what's playing right now out there is Raven Winged Hours, an evening with Edgar Allan Poe. It is opening tomorrow at the Archive Theater. They will be on the show next week here as part of our membership drive. We just heard from the folks at Pipeline for the Alchemy Theater. Again, it opens tomorrow, the 7th, runs through the 30th. Head Over Heels over at Zach is still playing. Hyde Park Theater is playing Caught through the 23rd of this month. I actually saw it. Has anybody seen Caught?
No.
It's a very, very interesting show. I had Ken on the show before, and it's funny, if you read the review from the Chronicle by Bob Abelman, he said he can't really say anything because everything's a spoiler, and indeed it is. It's like everything is a spoiler. So it's an entertaining 90 minutes, or if you listen to Ken, it's 84 minutes, but I think it was closer to 90. And that's playing over at Hyde Park Theater. Deaf Austin Theater, we also had them on the show last week. They're doing a very interesting show at Ground Floor Theater, opening tomorrow night. It's an American Sign Language version of the Laramie Project. It's done both in American Sign Language. It is voiced and it is super titled. So that's really, really fascinating. They've been working very hard on that. And then look, I have the Vortex Mother Tree, but no, that's done.
That was last
you
week.
Missed it. And I was just talking about, Bonnie, the Mother Tree last night with the choreographer on the show I'm working on right now, Lily. Percival. Yeah, and she just said so many wonderful things about Mother Tree. She couldn't stop talking about it.
We had a great process, and the performance turned out well, too.
Good. And y'all were on the show last week talking about it. So now we're just going to jump into Today in Theater History. Ready?
What happened?
Lots of things. Actually, not all that many things. 1978, Players opened at the Lyceum Theater. 1979, Peter Pan this was the revival with Sandy Duncan, opened. I had just been in New York 2 years at that point, and I did not see it. I have never seen Peter Pan on stage.
Well, you know, I mean, so many people have played Peter Pan, but I guess Sandy Duncan, that was a pretty big deal.
That was a pretty big deal, yeah. And, of course, Mary Martin originated it back in whatever year she did that. I don't know. I wasn't alive, I'm hoping.
When it was
Mary Martin, I think it was in the 50s.
Yeah, somebody did it before that, though.
I'm sure.
An older play, yeah.
Yeah. But that's, I don't know the musical Mary Martin did.
Yes.
Yeah. Also opening in 1955, before I was born, is Catch a Star. I don't know anything about it other than that, and that it played the Plymouth Theater. And then in 1932, no, I was not born yet, Ballyhoo. Also in 1932, Wow, they had two openings at the same time. That doesn't usually happen nowadays. Anyway, I thought that was a big deal. Ruth Gordon opened a show called Here Today.
And Ruth Gordon.
Hmm?
I love Ruth Gordon.
Who doesn't? Birthdays. Jane Curtin. And we were talking about Saturday Night Live earlier today. Rosie Perez, who did such a great job. There's a series that she played a serious role in. She did a great job. I can't remember what it was. Susie Kurtz. Bertie Carvel, who I know from, he was in Parade, the original Broadway version of Parade. And I pronounce it Anika Nani Rose, but I've heard other people pronounce her name Anika Nani Rose, but all birthdays today. So happy birthday to them. Mm-hmm. And that's it for our local section. And we're going to take a little break, and we're going to hear Anika Nani Rose doing I Hate the Bus from Caroline or Change, which she must have been very young when she did this. So this is I Hate the Bus. We'll be right back with The Vortex.
I want my own car.
We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa Sheps, operating solo here today. But it doesn't really matter because I have great guests that are acting as my co-hosts. And here to talk about their next project is The Vortex. We've already introduced, but I'm going to reintroduce Bonnie Cullum. Hi, Bonnie.
Hello.
Nina Perez Herrera.
Nia Perez Herrera.
Added an N.
Yes.
Can you change it for me?
No.
Okay, Nia. Sorry. Does that happen often?
Yes.
Yeah, I would think it would. My mind just went there.
It's okay.
And Alex Cogburn. Hi, Alex.
Hello.
All right, Bonnie, tell us about the Green New Theater Symposium. It's not a show, it's a whole symposium.
Yes, we're working on this. We've actually been working on it for a few years, and this is the culmination of our project. A symposium is really envisioned as a place that it's going to have academics and artists and activists all rubbing up against each other and creating some art and discussion together around how theater can be green and what are the intersections of environmental justice, which are everything, really.
Yeah, I mean, the idea of green theater, as someone that runs a theater, it's just so hard to be green.
It is, and it's not just the practice of being green at the theater, but also the content and subject matter sure. of the work. How are we getting people to think about climate crisis? How are we getting people to think about the way that theater can get us to think outside the box, outside of the scientific box? We're putting the science into the art, putting the science on the stage, making new plays. There are all these people writing new plays about climate, and it's super exciting, super important that people are making work, performance art, discussions, and some in-person gardening and nature walk experiences.
Yeah, so it's amazing. So about all the things that are happening, so not only are you doing performances, but as you said, nature walks and all things like that. You're using everything in the Vortex's stock. Nia, what is your role in this project?
So I am putting my first play, written, directed, and acted by me, that Bunny creating this beautiful event is the opportunity for me to showcase it the first time. And as the beginning of times, you know, I believe theater was always meant for us to awaken and to come back to what is just, what is beautiful also, and bring us to that space. So for me, in my mind, theater has always been connected to justice, and this was the perfect place to showcase it for the first time. So,
and your show is called Her.
Her.
And tell us a little bit about it. What is it?
Her is the untold story of Mary Magdalene, and I'm very passionate about the subject of all the scriptures about that were, you know, hidden from us, from the people that the Vatican had or other people may have hidden. So I've been investigating and with scholars, with even psychics, like all of the spectrum of science and metaphysics and material world about her story. Mm-hmm. So it's a story I believe believe that speaks to the feminine, is the feminine rising in all of the planet, in inside of us, in the balancing of coming back to earth, coming back to nature, coming back to honoring the cycles and coming back to the mother, right? Like Mother Tree also, that will be part of the symposium, explains like that energy of coming back to the feminine. She speaks, I believe, the voice of all women that in some moment have felt unheard, or in some space of injustice. Like she's this rising that we are all experiencing in our bodies, and I'm bringing her as a play that my dream is to create a film. That was my first idea, and then I was like, okay, how am I going to do this? I'm going to create a play, and this is going to be the first time that it's going to be shown.
Amazing. When does it actually perform?
It's going to be the 14th at
7:45. And we'll ask this several times, but we're, because there's a lot of stuff going on. Where can folks go to get information?
It's vortexrep.org.
Yeah, and there's a lot of stuff. I'm just looking at all the things that readings of new plays, film screenings, puppet disruptions. I love that. With our friends at Glass Half Full, and workshops. Alex, what else is going on, and what are you doing with this?
As the keeper of the butterfly garden at the Vortex, I'll be hosting a station that will contain a bunch of butterfly plants that I've been propagating roots from clippings all summer long. So hopefully everyone who attends that day can leave with a butterfly plant to help spread in the community. My station will include the Green Cube, which has been in residence at the Butterfly Garden at the Vortex for several years now. And there'll be some interactive elements to help explore the Green Cube. Sometimes the Green Cube gets stuck in its own square. And so with help, add some dynamic change to it.
Excellent. Well, I just love everything that outside area has turned into, and all the stuff, all the work that you do and the signage and everything. It's all about educating people, so it's the grounds of the Vortex are just amazing. And Bonnie, you reached out to other, I know the Ground Floor Theater is involved with this a little bit, and some other theater companies. So you've reached out to really the theater community to come in and be involved with this. Who else is involved?
We have Climate Change Theater Action Plays happening on Sunday, and this is the kickoff of a big international play festival that will be going from now through the 23rd of December all over the world. And we have Hyde Park Theater and Ground Floor Theater and a new theater company that Kate Meehan and Nola Lafayette are working on.
Lovely.
Which I don't think I know the name of.
Kate and Nola.
And Jasmine Games is also directing, and Heather Barfield and Eva Margarita, so a really wide variety of people, and Lily Persifeld.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So those are all short plays, 10 minutes or less. So we'll be having vegan brunch and doing those plays on the Sunday, but there are other plays throughout the symposium that are brand new climate plays that are so exciting and interesting that are coming, some from UT. We've got a lot of guest artists from UT, and we're also bringing in Annie Sprinkle and Beth Stevens, who and their whole eco-sex movement. So they're going to be giving a presentation as well.
You say you've been working on this for a couple of years, so this is the first time that the symposium has happened.
In Austin, I'm sure other kinds of things like this has happened before, but I was really inspired a few years ago by Groundwater Arts and their manifesto around Green New Theater, and have been sort of studying it, thinking about it, trying to figure out how to manifest it. I tried to make it a great big thing with UT, but that didn't work out. So we're making it a nice medium-sized thing.
To me, it sounds like a great big thing. When you look at the rundown and on your website, vortexrep.org, when you look at the about piece of this, it's pages and pages of stuff. So it looks amazing.
Yeah, I think, people can take as little or as much as they want. I think it'll be, for some people, kind of an endurance performance to see how much they can do. But also people can just take a little bit, too.
Well, I'm so happy that you are doing this, and I am really. We've been talking about the Vortex a lot lately with all the work you're doing around. Was it SB12 or SB14?
It's SB12.
You're named. You're part of that suit with SB12.
It's actually two lawsuits, so we're in the other one.
Oh, you're in the other
we're
one.
We're not in the ACLU one. Okay. We're in the Texas Civil Rights Project one. So there's two different.
Doesn't matter.
There's two different lawsuits against the same bill.
Good. And we're glad that you're doing that.
We're working hard to make sure that that our freedom of speech is protected.
Yeah, there's and so much else around that,
and all the hate that's embedded Correct. In that
right.
bill.
We're just about out of time. So when does the new Green New Theater Symposium actually take place?
It's next week. It's September 14th through 17th, and you can find out all about it at vortexrep.org.
Okay, and I would suggest maybe getting to that website relatively early because I think it's going to be amazing. I'm assuming it's not only indoors, but it's outdoors. It's using the whole campus.
Yes, we've got some indoors and outdoors action.
Great. Well, mm-hmm. It's nice and cool outside, so that's good.
Yes, there's a fresh breeze blowing.
Well, thank y'all so much for being on the show.
Thank you so much, Lisa.
Thank you.
That was Bonnie Cullum, Alex Cogburn, Nia Perez Herrera of The Vortex and their... symposium, the Green New Theater Symposium, September 14th through the 17th. For more information, vortexrep.org. This one was kind of an easy one for me to choose. It's Somewhere That's Green from Little Shop. We'll be right back.
Matchbox of our own, a fence of reason.
We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa and Lisa. I'm all by myself today. I just have enough time to say goodbye and say to stand by for the Austin Cooperative Hour. Once again, we have the Austin Common Radio Hour. The second week in a row with John Hoffner. He's trying to steal the microphone away, and I'm afraid he's going to be successful because I just have time to say goodbye. And then from the new Broadway musical Harmony, this is called We're Going Loco. We'll see you next week when we look at what's happening offstage and on the air. Bye.